We are well aware that Lent is a good time for a spiritual check-up in our lives, and I understand that you are considering beyond the law this week in your groups a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and what that looks like. And I was mulling these thoughts over in my mind. I started asking the question, what does the Lord require then of me? And what does he require of you? Now you think about that question, it's a quite a serious question which many of us would not answer without giving it some very serious thought. But have you ever considered what your answer might be to a question God says to you, what does your Lord require, your God require of you? The question was originally addressed to the nation of Israel, and those of you who listened to Brian's reading in the first verse of that chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, verse 12, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Moses had just received the two replacement tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments, and he was instructed by God to lead the people on their way to enter and possess the land that God had promised them. It was at that stage that Moses gave the people this instruction. Ah, but you might say, well, that was many, many years ago. What does it mean for us now? Just as God's people were chosen then and were given that instruction, we too, I believe, are God's people and set apart to be the spiritual Israel, the Church of Jesus Christ, called to be his people. The difference being that most of us are of Gentile descendancy, and we are now, since Jesus came, living not under law, but under grace, forgiven, not by any action of our own, but by our Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. But the fact that we're living under grace doesn't free us from the law. For Jesus said in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean for us? So we need to observe the Ten Commandments, the teachings of Jesus, and the law of love. I believe in this day and age there's a great need for us Christians to get back to basics, if you like, to recognize the authority and the relevance of God's law for this time, and how our nation, we know, has strayed from the teaching of Jesus and the old and the new covenants. And so to the words of Moses again then, what does the Lord our God ask of us? We notice the fact that God not only just asks from us, but if you were to read that verse in the Good News Bible, it reads, but demands of us. Now the people of Israel says, listen to what your God demands of you. And here we are considering something that is not optional, but imperative. It's what God demands of us always for our own good. We know on one occasion Moses and Aaron made certain demands of Pharaoh when the people were living under that slavery in Egypt and working really hard and feeling very, very depressed and really struggling, they went to Pharaoh and said, let the people go. Let us go out into the wilderness. We want to hold a spiritual festival in the desert in honor of our Lord. And as that demand was made of Pharaoh in the name of the Lord, Pharaoh turned back to Moses and Aaron and said, well, who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him? Why should I let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. He had no idea who God was. Isn't that familiar today? Many today do not know nothing about Lord God, the Lord our God. They wouldn't really know how to describe him. So who is this Lord who makes demands of us? How could we describe him to someone who doesn't know him? We can learn something from those verses of that chapter in Deuteronomy. We're told of a wonderful Lord who requires us to seek him, to worship him, to conform to his requirements. If you read on in that chapter, verse 14, he's revealed as our creator, the controller of heaven and earth. Therefore, it is our creator who makes certain demands of us. And we learn too that as we choose him for our Lord and our Saviour, he chooses us too. As God chose the Jews to be his people, so we who believe on him become a chosen people, if you like. There is a glorious, humbling truth here. Our God, our Creator, choosing you and me to be part of his kingdom. Paul has a word for us in Ephesians when he says, for you, or we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Chosen to be servants, chosen to serve. And as you read farther down, God is chosen as the sovereign and revealed as the sovereign Lord. He not only created us, but he exercises authority over us. And therefore it is his right to require certain things from us. He's also revealed as a universal provider. Hence he looks after those in need, working through others to supply that need, often miraculously. We know in Scripture we have many examples of miracles happening. Elijah and the widow with that bowl of flour and that cruse of oil, which didn't run out during the whole period of the drought, but day by day they was able to make something to eat. We can think of the feeding of the 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 2 small fish, and so on. And God continues to meet the needs of many people throughout the world. Countries where there is very, very much need, people starving, homeless. He continues to work through the wonderful international agencies that we have, Oxfam, Christian Aid, Tear Fund, Red Cross, CAFOD, and so we could go on. God does provide for his people often. Often we take it all so much for granted in our country. But he also provides, and he also reveals that he's indeed our Redeemer. As he released the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage of slavery, he's released us from the bondage of sin and evil through the grace and merits of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. This picture in the section of Scripture reveals that God was prepared to forgive his people. As Moses pleaded for their cause and asked for forgiveness to that God, that is the same God who makes certain demands of those people then and also of us now. And so to the answer to the question that we started with, what does our God require from us? Moses gave quite a brief summary, a summary that is quite easy to remember. Well, we'll analyze it in a few moments, but It was to fear God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and soul, and to observe his commands. How often we complicate the faith, don't we, with man-made rules and regulations and requirements, and many become frustrated and burnt out from trying hard to please God. But here is the essence and basis, back to basics, if you like, of what we need and what he requires from us. So let us concentrate on those for a few moments, and I know from them we shall find joy and peace. Firstly then, fear God. That calls for respect. Are we to be afraid of God as a judge? In a sense that slaves were timid and afraid of their masters? No, certainly not. We are indeed slaves, but we are also God's children. And we respect him as Father, our Father God. And we learn to put our faith in him, to trust him, to be obedient to him, to act upon his word. He calls us day by day to try and serve him, to work out our own salvation, to work out what he wants us to do. Day by day we mix with those who do not know or believe in God the Father. I'm sure he's just as concerned about them as we are. But when we have that close relationship with God, we respect him for all that he's done for us, for all that we know him to be, day by day as we live with him and work for him, conscious of his presence around us and with us. The second demand we briefly touched on demands from us, or requires from us, is to follow him and walk in his ways. It may sound easy, but it's not. It's not a natural thing for us to do. We want to do our own thing, don't we? We want to go our own way. Do our own thing is quite modern jargon, we know. To stray from the narrow way when we feel like it. To get our own way in this, that or the other. To do as we want, personally. The story of the prodigal son, indeed, that Jesus told is so true to life. Get up and go without considering the feelings of those left at home and those others around him. But God calls us to walk in his ways, to follow his direction under his guidance, to seek the way he wants us to go, he wants our lives to go. It may mean that we may have to change direction or move on or leave the familiar or seek for pastures new. It may go against our natural thinking and natural abilities, but we are assured we won't go alone. Many times in Scripture, particularly in the Psalms, we are told if the Lord asks us to follow him, he will go with us, he will encourage us, he will lead us, he will teach us his way and his will for our lives. Jesus' call to the first disciples was to follow me. The third demand is that we should love him. And that doesn't mean just love his service, his church, his truth. It's more personal than that. For when Jesus met that failed disciple, Peter, on the seashore after the resurrection, how disillusioned Peter must have felt. He'd let his master down. When the crunch came, he'd failed. He'd failed him. And yet Jesus said to him personally, "Lovest thou me more than all these? Lovest thou me?" This is the power of affection so intense, which means that if we love God deeply, we shall automatically hate the evil and the other things that God disapproves of. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, the psalmist said. To what depths do we really love our Lord? Jesus illustrates the love in his answer when he gave it to one of those teachers of the law who came to debate the greatest commandment with him. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart
with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. That's an intense love. The love that God demands of you and of me. And that leads us on to another requirement of to serve the Lord your God with all loyalty and in the way that we can. Not just on Sundays as we've come together to worship today, but through the week, seven whole days, not one in seven, we are called to follow him and serve the Lord. Paul called upon those Roman citizens, as we read in the New Testament lesson, to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is a spiritual worship. And when we consider that indeed our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we should be ready to serve and to use the talents and the gifts that we have. We all got various ones and we can use them in different ways to serve the Lord. As we know that all parts of our body are important for its function, so each gift can be used humbly to build up the church and enable it to go forward. But there is one more thing that we're called and which God expects of us: to observe the commands of the Lord, to keep them and to be obedient to them. And this seems to gather up all that God is saying to us in one simple statement. Observe the laws and the commands and decrees I'm giving you today for your own good. It was for the good of Israel way back. As they prepared to move on to the promised land. And that indeed should be our concern today as we face up to the truths around us, to the circumstances around us, and we need to be nourished and to know the Word of God in our own lives, to read it, to study it, to meditate upon its teaching. It's so important that we realise what the Scripture means to us. We know there is so much misunderstanding and so much misinterpretation of the teaching, but we should know the truth that it's always been so. For Jesus encountered so much misunderstanding in his life on this earth. And he said to them, "You do not know the scriptures." And they didn't know the scriptures. But from them, we are given and revealed the living God. We are pointed to the living God who gives us those decrees. Something we need to do is in this day and age is to be determined that we need to discipline ourselves to read God's word, to try and understand it, to see through it and to accept from it the challenges that are there. And so God's word through that great leader Moses were a challenge to the Israelites long ago, and I believe they challenge us today. And each day they challenge us. So we remember that question. What does the Lord your God demand of you, require of you? What does he expect of us individually, as a group, corporately, as a church? It's there is respect him, to follow him, to love him, to serve him, to be obedient to him. That is the way that he's called us to follow him. And we know those that know him personally share that happiness in their lives, know him as a loving Heavenly Father, and can share it with other people who are seeking with heart and soul and want to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we respond to that question of what the Lord requires of us. Amen.